Okay, let's unpack this. We have a massive stack of sources today, and they paint a picture of, well, total chaos and groundbreaking innovation happening simultaneously in the world of data storage. This deep dive focuses on everything from the largest hyperscale data centers dealing with AI demands to the very specific controversial policy changes that affect what you can plug into your personal network-attached storage, or NAS, right at home.
It's a crucial moment, really, for anyone who buys or uses digital memory. Our mission today is to synthesize three major narratives, each showing how quickly the rules of storage are changing. We're looking at how AI is fundamentally redefining enterprise hardware efficiency, why the core building blocks, the NAND flash memory, are under intense and sustained supply pressure, and finally, the dramatic and frankly unavoidable policy U-turn from Synology. That has huge implications for every prosumer user out there.
We're cutting through the noise, synthesizing these forces to understand what is driving up prices, what is dictating the longevity of your hardware, and what new innovations are arriving to maybe save us from this data crunch. Let's start at the top with the enormous demands of AI and the efficiency arms race currently raging in the data center.
Yeah, the sheer volume, the energy requirements, and the input-output, or I/O, demands of training and running large AI models. They're forcing a completely new paradigm for hardware
A new
manufacturers.
way of thinking.
Absolutely. We're moving beyond simple metrics like sequential read-write speed. The new focus is durability, resilience, and critically, power efficiency, making flash memory last longer while processing petabytes of data nonstop.
Kioxia, for instance, is addressing this durability issue not just with new chips, but with software, which I find a fascinating approach.
It is. They developed a new open-source RocksSDB plugin aimed squarely at data centers that use multi-SSD RAID
And
setups.
what problem does that solve exactly?
That plugin targets one of the most destructive hidden processes in flash memory, write amplification factor, or WAF.
Wuff, wuff.
For listeners who haven't encountered this term, WAF is essentially inefficiency. It's a multiplier. It determines how much unnecessary data the SSD has to physically write to its flash cells compared to the amount of data the host system actually intended to write.
So extra writes wearing the drive out faster.
Exactly. When WAF is high, the drive wears out much, much faster.
So if WAF is 2x, the system is writing twice as much data as it needs to, basically having the life of that incredibly expensive enterprise SSD.
You got it. And Kioxia's plugin dramatically reduces this by up to 46% in a typical four-drive RAID setup.
Wow, almost half.
And critically, it also increases throughput over 8 times compared to standard MD RAID.
8 times.
Yeah, this is a monumental win because it means better performance and a much longer lifespan for the hardware. You're saving on replacement costs, you're saving on energy, which is exactly the kind of innovation the AI era demands.
And while Kioxia is optimizing drive life, Solidigm is pushing capacity and density limits. They recently opened their AI Central Lab specifically to test how far they can push these AI workloads with sheer volume.
Their density achievements are genuinely staggering. They managed to pack 23.6 petabytes of usable storage. That's 23,600 terabytes
Yettabytes.
into just 16U of standard rack space.
16U, that's tiny for that much data.
It required 192 of their D5 P53 3D6 SSDs, each one clocking in at 122 terabytes. Think about the physical footprint reduction this represents for a massive data center.
Yeah, the cooling costs alone.
Right. This directly impacts their operational expenditure, their OpEx, through reduced cooling and housing costs.
Density is paramount, but so is power consumption. As AI models scale, their environmental impact becomes, well, unavoidable. We're seeing strategic alliances forming purely to make AI infrastructure greener, focusing on performance per watt.
This is a critical factor, especially for large-scale inference workloads. The alliance between Trusta, that's Adata, FADU, and Giga Computing highlights this perfectly. They are focused on delivering high-performance solutions while keeping power efficiency front and center.
Any examples?
Yeah, the Trusta T7P5 SSD delivers 447 megabytes per second per watt.
Okay, that's specific.
It sounds like an obscure number, I know, but it's approximately 1.6 times higher efficiency than comparable products. Efficiency isn't just a marketing bullet point anymore. It's a financial necessity in the power-hungry AI era.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because these aggressive AI efficiency targets and massive capacity demands are colliding head-on with the physical reality of the hardware supply chain.
This is the core conflict of the current storage landscape. We have a serious long-term warning coming from Phison CEO Pui Kainseng, who predicted that NAND flash, the fundamental building block of all modern digital storage, could face a severe shortage.
Not severe.
Potentially for the next 10 years.
10 years of shortages. That is a huge statement. Why such long-term stress on a commodity we use literally everywhere?
It comes down to manufacturing priority, and specifically the rise of AI accelerators. Memory manufacturers like Micron, Samsung, SK Hynix, they're heavily prioritizing production of high-bandwidth memory, or HBM.
HBM, right, for AI chips.
Exactly. For those unfamiliar, HBM is essentially custom-built stacked memory specifically designed to feed AI GPUs instantly with massive amounts of data. It's incredibly complex and very lucrative to produce.
So if they're devoting vast resources and precious fab space to producing HBM for the AI giants,
yeah,
the investment in R&D and manufacturing capacity for traditional bulk NAND flash,
yeah,
the chips that go into your desktop SSDs or mobile phones,
yeah,
that's being slowed down.
Precisely. And the consequences are already visible. Micron, SanDisk, Samsung,
yeah,
they're already planning price increases for NAND flash products in the short term.
Right.
But the long-term impact on you, the listener, is where this really hits home. If capacity shrinks and prices rise for a decade, that means that 4 terabyte desktop SSD you bought today, it will likely cost significantly more in a year or two.
Ouch.
And innovation in basic bulk storage might stagnate, forcing consumers and small businesses to pay a premium for just incremental capacity gains.
That reframes the entire cost equation for everyone building a home lab or buying their next gaming console. It changes everything.
Yeah.
But while the supply chain is constrained at the high volume level, speed on the edge is still breaking records. We saw the introduction of the JEDEC UFS 5.0 standard this week.
That standard is vital for the next generation of mobile phones, edge computing devices, and smaller gaming consoles. The goal is to deliver higher performance with lower power consumption.
And the speed.
The headline speed is incredible, up to 10.8 gigabytes per second of sequential performance.
10.8 gigabytes, that's faster than most desktop M.2 drives today.
It is.
That speed is impressive, but hitting those high data rates usually introduces signal noise and integrity issues, right? How does UFS 5.0 handle that?
They are tackling noise head-on. UFS 5.0 integrates signal integrity enhancement technology and uses separate, meticulously managed power supplies to minimize signal interference between the components.
Yeah.
They also feature inline hashing for constant data integrity checks. This ensures that even at extreme speeds, the data arriving at your mobile processor is clean and reliable.
So essential for things like 8K mobile video or on-device AI.
Exactly. It's a necessary step to support that kind of processing on the device itself.
And underpinning all of this, whether it's HBM or high-speed UFS, the foundation is being laid at the founder level. TSMC just etched its first 2-nanometer silicon at the Kaohsiung Fab 22.
Yeah, aiming for volume manufacturing by late 2025 and then Q2 2026. The entire ecosystem is moving at a breakneck pace to address the supply gap for advanced processors.
It's a massive push.
It is a remarkable push to build the future. But if we shift gears dramatically, okay, from the massive scale of foundry constraints and global shortages, down to the specific human scale of policy, we need to discuss Synology's policy U-turn.
Ah, yes.
This is where market forces and community pressure forced a vendor to fundamentally reverse course.
This controversy has been one of the biggest topics in the prosumer storage world for the last 6 months, easily. Synology's 2025 models initially blocked third-party HDDs and SSDs from major trusted vendors like Western Digital and Seagate for new installations,
yeah,
which resulted in huge community backlash and reportedly a significant slump in sales for them.
The backlash clearly worked because Synology has backed down significantly for their mainstream Disk Station Plus series, you know, the DS9 25 plus C, DS1E 25 plus A, that kind of thing.
Okay, so what's changing?
Starting with the rollout of their new operating system, DSM 7.3, the policy is reversed. Non-listed HDDs and 2.5-inch SATA SSDs are now fully supported for new installations and storage pool creation.
And the warnings.
Critically, the restrictive, anxiety-inducing warnings that prevented setup are gone.
So the flexibility is essentially restored for the majority of their consumer and prosumer user base.
Mm.
But we have to be critical here. Was this a genuine win for the community? Or was this simply Synology prioritizing revenue over their claimed commitment to data integrity through verified hardware?
Oh, it was almost certainly a response to revenue, let's be honest. The market simply would not accept paying a significant premium for proprietary drives when the drives they had previously trusted were suddenly locked out.
Makes sense.
However, they walked a tightrope regarding technical support, which is the critical nuance for you, the listener. While the drives are supported for installation, Synology's technical assistance may be limited if they can prove that any future issues were specifically caused by non-listed hardware.
Ah, the fine print.
It restores user freedom, mostly, while giving Synology a layer of liability protection.
And the restrictions haven't vanished entirely across the whole product line, right? This flexibility doesn't extend everywhere.
That's the key distinction, which you could argue reinforces the performance consistency motive, at least for some lines. The enterprise systems, the FlashStation, FS, XS, RackStation RS, and specialized DVNVR lines, they maintain the stringent policy.
So no third-party drives for new pools there.
In those models, unlisted drives can only be used for data migration if you're upgrading, not for creating new storage pools or caches. They are enforcing maximum consistency where downtime is unacceptable.
And what about the most demanding workload on a NAS, that M.2 NVMe caching? That remains strictly controlled even in the Plus series.
That's right. M.2 NVMe SSDs across nearly all models still require official compatibility list validation for caching or pool creation.
Why the distinction for NVMe cache?
Because continuous caching puts intense, continuous read-write stress on the drives, far greater than simple volume storage. They are reserving their limited technical support and guaranteeing their published performance metrics for caching only with validated drives. It's a measured retreat, but one that restores significant power to the home user.
Okay. This shift toward flexibility for the user coincides with a flurry of innovation focusing on edge AI and local data sovereignty. While Synology was busy with policy, other players were advancing the hardware ecosystem. We've seen some truly compelling new AI-ready NAS hardware hit the market, specifically targeting this new wave of decentralized processing.
The QNAP TVS AIS 1688 ATX is a perfect example of this. It's a purpose-built AI NAS featuring the Intel Core Ultra Processor with an integrated neural processing unit, an NPU, delivering up to 36 TOPS of AI performance.
36 TOPS in a NAS?
Yeah. It uses DDR5 ECC RAM and is expandable all the way up to the latest Thunderbolt 5 standard. This is what the high-end NAS space looks like when AI is the primary workload, not just storage, but processing too.
Speaking of AI in the edge, the developer stack itself is undergoing a transformation with Qualcomm acquiring Arduino. That seems like an interesting pairing.
Oh.
High-powered silicon with that maker simplicity.
It's a powerful combination for prototyping edge AI solutions, for sure. The first product, the Arduino Uno Q, is a fascinating piece of engineering. It features what they call a dual-brain architecture.
Dual-brain.
Essentially, one chip handles the complex operating system, allowing it to run Linux Debian.
Okay.
And the other is a real-time microcontroller.
So you get the best of both worlds, heavy computing and instant control.
Exactly. Instead of being tied to one function, you have one side that can run heavy tasks like image recognition, and the other side provides instant low latency control over sensors and motors. Incredibly versatile for industrial or complex smart home stuff.
Flexibility is definitely the theme. And for those focused on industrial grade security or even just home lab flexibility, we saw products addressing physical hardware limitations too.
Right. Flexen launched the XMask Pro. That's a secure memory card with hardware-based encryption and data concealment, really designed for industrial use.
And rugged too, right?
Yeah, resilient enough to withstand extreme temperatures, from minus 40 Celsius up to 85 Celsius. Essential for surveillance or specialized computing in harsh environments.
And for using existing SSD stock more efficiently.
Raiden introduced the UBO X Micro. This adapter converts standard M.2 NVMe SSDs, which are cheap and plentiful, into a durable, hot-swappable 2.5-inch U.2 NVMe format.
Oh, that's clever.
It's brilliant for home labs or cost-efficient enterprises that want the performance of NVMe but need the durability and hot-swap capability of the U.2 form factor. Basically, lets you reuse older or cheaper drives in a more robust way.
On the software side, especially after the Synology drama, giving users control over their data stack seems paramount.
Absolutely. Icewell launched ZemoS 1.5. It's an open source NAS OS that emphasizes private, secure, local data management. It simplifies storage setup while supporting over 800 Dockerized applications. More choice for the user.
And you can't run any of this without stable power. We saw Ubiquiti launch new UPS solutions too.
Yeah, essential infrastructure upgrades. a 1.44 kVA rack mount, and a 1 kVA tower. They integrate seamlessly with the UniFi system, which is great for people in that ecosystem, and they also support the Universal Network UPS tools, or NUT, standard.
So clean shutdowns for everyone.
Crucial for protecting data integrity in these increasingly complex home systems.
Okay, let's wrap up with a note on sustainability, which feels like a key long-term factor weaving through all of this.
Yeah.
Raspberry Pi highlighted their commitment.
Right. At the Sony UK tech facility where their boards are manufactured, that facility operates a zero waste to landfill policy and uses 100% renewable green energy for its remaining electrical needs, which is great.
But there was more, wasn't there? Something about gold.
Yeah. The most groundbreaking initiative, I think, is the collaboration between Sony and the Royal Mint, both based in Wales, to recover gold from e-waste. They use a patented, energy-efficient chemical process to turn electronic scrap into a genuinely sustainable source of raw material.
Mining circuit boards instead of the earth.
Essentially, yeah. It's a fundamental shift for hardware manufacturing, potentially. So, what does this all mean? We've seen three massive conflicts converging this week, haven't we?
Definitely feels that way.
Storage is becoming mission critical for AI, driving immense efficiency demands and predicted decade-long supply constraints for NAND flash that will affect consumer prices.
Yeah, I was skating that.
Simultaneously, market forces are dictating policy, forcing established vendors like Synology to restore flexibility and choice to their prosumer product lines, which is, you know, a win for users.
It's a push-pull environment defined by speed and scarcity, where consumer sentiment, it seems, is still powerful enough to challenge the corporate mandate, at least sometimes.
And the root of this conflict, as we discussed, is the physical limitations of flash memory, of NAND. The long-term R&D discussed this week often includes alternatives like spintronics and, most prominently, magnetic random access memory, or MRAM. MRAM is designed for superior size, speed, and endurance compared to NAND. So the question is, given the severe predicted decade-long shortage in NAND supply, will that scarcity finally provide the economic incentive needed to push MRAM out of R&D labs and into the mainstream? Will it fundamentally change the architecture of data centers, NAS systems, and personal devices alike? That's something worth watching very closely as this predicted shortage takes hold.